All right, we survived the crud.
Yeah, we did.
Create, read, update, and delete. We're going to add in some logging.
Yep.
Do a little application insights locally. And then in the process of doing logging, I also want to add a little bit of thing called temp data.
Okay.
Because I was noticing that when we did the create, it'd be nice to have a little message that said Beyonce was created or whatever.
Yeah, that would be nice.
But, you know, that's not really part of the model. So yeah. That brings up some interesting questions. So, for example, if we go back to create and just refamiliarize ourselves with that, right? We type in the name and we hit submit. And then if we look at the page model behind that, it's pretty straightforward, right? We have the customer that, as you say, with the bind property, survives the...
Survives the journey.
Survives the journey. But it'd be nice to have a message that would be some temporary piece of data that would say, oh yeah, customer got added.
Okay.
So we could go and have a string and call it message. This is interesting though because it's part of the page model, but not part of the database.
Yes.
This is part of the page model, which is kind of like a view model. This is really a temporary piece of data. It's temp data. And they're going to have their values stored, and then they'll be right back around the other side. So it's a sidecar. It's a little post-it note.
Okay? Oh, that's a good way to think about it. Yeah.
Cool. So it's a place to put stuff. So I'm going to save the database, save the data right here like we did before. And then...
You're going to have a message.
I'm going to have a little message, and we'll say, hey, customer... And this is where you can personalize stuff. Customer name added. It's a message, right? And it could come out of whatever you want. It could be generated. But here we're mixing and matching text with the data from the form. And I'm squirreling it away in this message here, which is not part of the database.
So by the simple fact that you've had the temp data, it said you're not going into the database.
Right, because I posted that. Well, I mean, because I've actually never picked it up and put it anywhere near the database. Mm. If I did not put temp data on it, that would never get saved, and it would be null.
Okay.
But because it's public and it's on the page model, it's available to me, you know, elsewhere. Okay? So let's go over to... Let me think about this.
Would you go to your index page?
Yep,
or something?
Thank you. Yep. Took me a second to get my head right. So on the index page, we're going to go and make a message as well. That's going to catch that temp data, right?
Yeah.
And then here, maybe we'll have some, we'll just stick it at the top of the form for now. And we'll say maybe an H3.
And some sort of message?
Model.message.
Okay.
Okay. So it'd be empty. And, you know, maybe we'd want to hide it if it wasn't there or whatever. There's lots of things that we could potentially do. But for now, this, I think, will be fine. But this is just an example where it's not quite database stuff. You don't want to stick it in the database temporarily. You just want it to be somewhere temporarily.
Some sort of acknowledgement for the user.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the general idea of being able to, there you go.
There you are.
And that could look at whatever you want. You could do whatever you want. It could fade in with jQuery or animation or whatever makes you happy. And that's different from there, which is your default state, right? So we'll do it again. See? And it's because it was called temp data and we had the same name here and where it started. So it found its way magically over into the index area as well, which is pretty sweet.
Cool.
Cool. All right. Now, we've talked a little bit about logging very, very briefly, but we didn't really do anything with it.
But we saw it appear.
We saw it there. We saw two different kinds of logging. We saw this one, and then we saw a little bit more there. So there was warning, and then there was... Oops. Pardon me. There you go. There's warning, and then there's debug.
Okay.
And then you can have different subsections. You can say, well, I just want information from Microsoft, but I want debug from everybody else. Right?
Yep.
So let's go see if we can figure out how to do logging. All right. So we'll go back over to here. And I'm going to try to remember how to do this from scratch. Do you, Hannah? Can you tell me how?
You got to try to remember?
Well, you know, I just want to do it right, but I don't want to, you know, I don't have all this stuff in my head all the time.
So I should be iLogger. Is it I? You probably need to add it as a service.
Yeah, so I have okay. to add it as a service.
And then you have to, then we have to use it.
Yeah. So there's add logging. And then we've got app dot. I don't think it's used.
Do you put it up, so iLogger?
Yeah, I think it's iLogger Factory.
I think it's, yeah.
See?
Yes, you have to add the extension.
It comes out of an extension. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Guesswork makes for the best work.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Then we'll say, hey, Logger Factory. And you can say, well, if I'm running it at the console, I could add the console. Because you can log to all kinds of places, right? You can log to files. You can log it into Application Insights.
Yeah.
Do all kinds of things. And if you go and do Application Insights, that's going to ask you all kinds of questions as well. Right now, for now, I'm going to add console. I'm going to add debug.
Okay.
Now.
Do you need the first one anymore?
The console one is if I'm running it from the command line, and if I ever want to, I think I'd like to have that.
Okay, so it's a choice.
Well,
so,
I'm going to be doing stuff where someone on my team works in the console, and I'd like to be able to spit out to the console when possible.
So what I'm trying to point out is that you don't need both of them, right?
I'm pointing the logging to multiple locations.
Okay.
I could point it out to App Insights. I could put it in a text file. I could put it in a database. It would be weird, but I could do that.
Yeah.
So right now I'm sending logging to two places. Rather.
Okay.
Pardon me. Yeah. So yeah, it's cool to do that. And then, in a place that I might want to use it, remember how we put everything on one line there before?
Yeah.
We're going to take it out, and I think I would say private iLogger, and I think it would be of type create model, and I'll just say log, and then we say iLogger create model log, and then again we scroll it away. Now here I am mixing things. Here this person went underscore DB and I said capital L. You should pick a style.
So is the underscore really just a style?
It's just a style. It's like saying this is private or it's read only or it's internal. There's lots of people have different styles. You tend to use capitals for publics.
Yeah.
There was a time when we used to say M underscore for secret member, you know. Now sometimes people put underscore for internal or read only. I'm just, I should be more responsible in the way I name my things.
Yes, you should.
I should. It's sad. Okay. This string right here. I could maybe reuse.
And then make it for log, okay.
And I could say log.
Level?
Yeah, I could say log information, log debug, log critical. Let's say that's critical. It's totally not critical. But I could say, that's a bad thing. Oh my goodness, customer added, right? And then it might come out red, right? And actually that would be cool to try. So if I am a web application, and where is my web application? It is down here. So let's go over to that location.
Yeah.
And I'll try .NET run from the command line. This is a good reminder that you can do these things in Visual Studio, or you can jump back out into the command line. That's cool, too.
So it's giving you
6405. Oops. So I'll put that there, and I'll put this here.
Oh, there it was. Critical.
Ah. Right? That's the console one. So the idea there is that information could go lots of different places. So let's close that up.
We're going to see it in the debug.
And let's go and do it in... application insights.
Okay.
Which is cool. And you can see it in the debugger as well, right? You can. The point is that stream of information is going out into the world. It can go out into the command line. It can go out into a window. It can go into Windows debug, text file. Totally up to you. All right. So I'm gonna declare tab bankruptcy because it's too much. It's stressing me out. Okay. Go back over here. I'm going to right-click. And I'm going to say add application insights.
Okay.
And you've done this before many times. Here's the trick, though. You can do this and sign up in Azure. You can use it for free. You get like, what, a gigabyte of space? Something like that. They'll go and register your app. And you can, even though you're running your app locally, send the telemetry up into the cloud. We'll do this a little bit later.
Okay.
But I want to point out to people that you don't have to do it that way, okay? They would like you to sign up, and I think that you would get value if you signed up. But you can also try it local only.
Okay.
It's a little subtle. You can try it local only, which means none of your data will be sent up into the cloud.
But is this, it's a data that you can export and put somewhere else, like you can send a report to someone.
Sure. The point is that the cloud is going to give you a lot more insight. It's going to apply all the analytics, and you have a kind of an unlimited amount of space in the cloud. I think it's a gig for free, and then beyond that, you can do all kinds of things in the cloud you can't do locally.
Oh yeah.
But the point I'm making is that there's no reason not to try it out locally. You can do amazing stuff with it, even on an airplane. You know what I mean? So let's go and run this.
And you just added the App Insights.
Yeah, that's a good point. By running that, I just added that package.
Yep.
And it plugged itself into the pipeline. Okay.
Oh, so you didn't have to manually add it into your pipeline
at all.
So it's automatically added by default?
Yeah, it's magic. I think we can actually look at the... let's go out to where that was. Where is that file located? The CS Proj is here, and we can open it up. There it is.
There it is. Okay.
So it's just a package, and once it gets in there, it's plugged into the pipeline, and it's going to collect all kinds of stuff. But now I can go and really query my application. So it's running right now.
Okay.
To be clear, let's go and do our creates stuff. Then I'll come in here. And I'll say, look, see the numbers getting higher?
Yeah.
Let me do that again.
So add a new one.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So events are happening. So I can click on that. And this is what you want to get. This is sweet. I can see the number of requests, the number of traces.
You can filter it?
You can filter by just show me creates. Just show me people on this version. Just show me people on Chrome. Just show me people on Firefox. Just show me things that took longer than a second, right? You can go through this whole list here, and I could look for it. Look.
And it even has these really good icons, so you know what's
what. Yeah. See, remember how we made adding a customer a critical?
Yeah.
So I can double click on that individual trace. Okay. So then we can see the name of the computer.
Oh, and the operation?
The severity, the operations, and I can use, then show me all telemetry for this user. So then you could say, well, I've got a bunch of users hitting this. This is where the local stuff will fall down at some point, and then you're going to want to go into the cloud. But one of the great options is something's occurred.
Yeah.
Beyonce has been added. Show me telemetry 5 minutes before and after.
Okay.
Right, because the bug might not be near her. It might be
around her.
Around her, elsewhere on the elevator. Okay?
Yeah.
Then I can go and chart these things over time. Again, this is all local. This is the stuff you get locally. And then when you want to go beyond that, there's all kinds of great stuff in the Application Insights portal.
And this would link you right.
Link you right there, and you can go and check it out. And we will explore a bunch of that stuff in another talk. See? Here, when you sign in, you can pick your resource and then see dependencies, how your application talks to the database, calls another web API, stuff you wouldn't be able to do if you didn't put it in the cloud. And here I've just added a filter, and I've said create, I can turn that filter off. Just show me the longest ones, filter on those. There's the record, there you go. One of the requests took a long time, click on that. That was the initial get.
Okay.
The very first time it compiled that that page. Isn't that fantastic?
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
That's really impressive. I really like
Application Insights. Cool. So I think that puts us in a pretty good spot, doesn't it? We've got a nice little CRUD application, basic Bootstrap. It's talking to Application Insights. We've got logging. I think that's a pretty good beginner start, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. We've accomplished quite a bit over the past couple of hours.
Where should they go now? The docs.
The docs. Go to the docs. Go to docs.microsoft.com. Get started. Great samples, great interactive experiences, and if you see this, send Hanselman an applause.
Say applause to us on Twitter,
on Twitter,
myself and Maria. And be sure to explore all the different great courses that are here at Microsoft Virtual Academy. This is just beginner ASP.NET Core. We've got beginner C#. We've got all sorts of great cloud-based content. There's an intermediate and advanced. There's Docker, and on and on and on. Thank you so much for spending your day with us here on Microsoft Virtual Academy.